Greetings, everybody. John Doherty here once again for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, and as much as we can, we like to talk locally. If climate change is a global issue, we're part of that globe, and so climate change affects us right here, and part of my job is to keep you informed about what's going on in Pierce County and Tacoma. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. Ellie Klaus-McGann. Full disclosure, she's a colleague of mine with Citizens Climate Lobby, but her reach goes far beyond Citizens Climate Lobby here in Tacoma and in Pierce County. Ellie has been fundamental in creating an umbrella organization here in Pierce County. That organization is called Climate Pierce County. It's an umbrella coalition committed to a carbon-free future for Pierce County. They work collaboratively with all organizations endeavoring to fight climate change and environmental injustice with the goal of creating a healthy, sustainable, and resilient future for all Pierce County residents. I urge you to check out their website. Great place for anybody concerned about our environment to work with others who share those concerns. I'll have a note with the web address along with the show notes, and I'll refer to those at the end of today's conversation. So here we go. Let's listen in on the conversation with Ellie Klaus-McGann. We're happy to have Ellie Klaus-McGann with us today. We're going to be talking about Pierce County politics, Pierce County sustainability plan. Welcome, Ellie. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just start off. Why don't you tell us a bit about who Ellie Klaus-McGann is and what your interests are in Pierce County sustainability, et cetera.
So I am a semi-retired math educator. I have a PhD in mathematics and came up here originally to teach at the University of Puget Sound and then opened up my own consulting firm to do more professional development with teachers as well as working with kids on problem solving. But then it was time to move on to something new, and that was climate change for me. I became very passionate about what's going on locally and nationally and concerned for my kids and hopefully future grandkids, whether there would be a world for them to grow up in and enjoy the way I've enjoyed the world. So that's what happened.
So I think it's an interesting story for me, at least for folks that have gotten interested, active around climate. Can you think of what the trigger was or what the evolution was towards all of us, you know, all of a sudden over a long time, you said, wait a minute, I need to really be devoting some energy to climate change?
Well, I've always been an outdoor person and lover of nature. So I'm an avid gardener. I do a lot of hiking. I like kayaking. And little things that I noticed were that the glaciers were retreating on Mount Rainier. And this was obvious. I've been living here for, you know, about 30 years, and I saw the difference. And the temperature went up and the wildfires came in. But what really prompted me to act was the election of then President Trump and knowing what he was going to do in terms of rolling back any progress we'd made. And that panicked me. Then I thought, it's time for me to get into the game.
Yep. Panicked me too. So I've got somewhat of a similar story. So you're active locally here in Pierce County. You've got irons in more than one fire, I think. I would like to kind of zero in a bit on the Pierce County Sustainability Plan. You, I believe, were significantly involved with the evolution of that plan and it eventually becoming an ordinance. So what is the Pierce County Sustainability Plan?
So as part of Climate Pierce County, we decided to focus on the Pierce County Sustainability Plan after we found out that it was going to actually happen. So Pierce County has been very reluctant for a window of time to do anything about sustainability. They had defunded their sustainability department, and it was only through the work of one of the council members, Councilmember Derek Young, who pushed really, really hard to get it funded again. And as part of that funding, they hired their previous sustainability director, Ryan Dix, to write the Pierce County Sustainability Plan in a very short time frame. And they gave him a little bit of money to hire someone else to help him. And over a span of maybe 4 months, he had to get this whole plan together. So I met with Ryan Dix, and I also invited him and Stephanie Leisel, who was who is now part of the sustainability department, to join us at Climate Pierce County more than once to tell us about the plan and what kind of advocacy work he needed to have it move forward. The original plan was to have the sustainability plan go to the full council last year, and that didn't happen. It went to the planning commission, or the planning committee, received a lukewarm reception there the first time around. It got sent back to the planning commission, and there were still some people there who were like, why do we even need to do this? We've got COVID right now. Greenhouse gas emissions are down. Why do we have to act at all? But eventually it got a semi-positive vote, made it into the community development committee. And we now had new council members, and Council member Ryan Mello took it and ran with the ball. I mean, he really pushed getting it through and also updating some of the aspects of it. So it went through, I think, three meetings at the community development committee. And they managed through, I guess I would call it politics, through seeing the support that Climate Pierce County was bringing to get it passed at a 6-1 vote, which was pretty amazing because initially that support wasn't there. And we had a lot of support from, because Climate Pierce County is this umbrella organization, we had people coming in from Tahoma Audubon, from CCL, from Climate Reality, from the Democratic Socialists of America, a number of environmental organizations that all work with us on trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions here in Pierce County in an environmentally just way. So it's been exciting work, and it's really cool to see that it's finally there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you made reference a couple of times to Climate Pierce County. Sketch out for us, what is Climate Pierce County?
So Climate Pierce County is a very young organization. We're about a year and a half old. Donna Thompson from Climate Reality and I decided to take a shot at seeing if we could get environmental organizations to join us in this coalition effort. We had been asked by Ryan Mello, who was then a council member of Tacoma City Council, whether there was a way to get the environmental organizations to speak with one voice, at least on some topics. And we decided that topic should be climate change, and we gathered a whole bunch of people together, leaders from their organizations, and asked, is this something that's of interest? And it was. So it's a place for environmental organizations to come together and really focus on what can we do about climate change. And we do that by advocating at meetings. We also go to each other's, we participate in each other's actions, whether that's a climate march or whether that's testifying in front of a council, whether it's writing letters to the editor, whether it's just sharing information. It's just become a very good place for people to share ideas on how to tackle climate change.
So it does sound like a really marvelous idea. And you know, one of the things that concerns me a little is that maybe even a lot, is that environmental organizations have their own personalities, and they've got their own, let's say, axe to grind, for lack of a better term. Yet we have so much more in common than we do with people who are, let's say, climate deniers or obstructionists or however you want to put it. So did you find forming this? Well, first of all, I believe you were integral, or at least there at the beginning, in forming Climate Pierce County. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was one of the founders, and I can.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering.
I continue to lead the organization in some ways. I would say in a lot of ways, I'm the voice for it. I write the notes that go out to everybody. I keep everybody sort of informed with what's going on. I take a lot of information in from other organizations and make sure that goes back out. And the reason why I can do that is because I'm semi-retired and I have the time, unlike many of the young people that do join us that work full time. So that's the benefit.
Yeah. So as you formed this group, did you find it a pretty natural process? People were open to it. They wanted to do it, or were there some barriers to overcome in getting to where you are now, where you're actually quite an effective group and making a difference?
there was the trying to find what our identity was and what we should focus on, because as you say, you know, there are a lot of environmental groups and they all have different things that they want to do. Like one of our members is Protectors of the Salish Sea, and they are very focused on the Salish Sea, which we're not. We are climate oriented and greenhouse gas reduction oriented. So we have our own niche, but we do support other organizations with their efforts. So it took a while to sort of figure out what were we going to do. And then I really want to make a difference. And so did the other people. So then you have to target, what are you going to make a difference on? So the first thing that we took on was the clean fuel standard, which was then being introduced by PSCA, the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency. And that, for legal reasons at the state level, was not able to go through. Then we moved on to the Pierce County Sustainability Plan. And right now our project is to reach out to the Pierce County Regional Council and get them on board to be a lead for the cities and towns in Pierce County to act on climate change. So we've been meeting with representatives to the council that turn out to be either mayors or city council members from all these different cities and towns. And that's been an exciting project. It's allowed us to meet a lot more people. Because I'm part of CCL and I can look at the membership list, I go to the membership list and say, hey, you know, I really need some people from Puyallup, or I need some people from so-and-so. And so I can call them and contact them. And people that may not come to CCL meetings and are told, you know, we just need you for this one meeting to go meet with your representative. Are you on? And they go, yeah, I can do that. It's a cool way to meet people on a very specific oriented topic. And I think that's what helps me, because it is so focused. We're not spread out all over the place in terms of what Climate Pierce County does.
So I'm just curious here on a personal level. It seems like you might be enjoying this work, meeting people and getting stuff done. So are you getting some fun out of this?
Oh, definitely. Yes. I find I really thrive on learning and meeting with representatives and seeing what their cities and towns are up to or are not up to, or what they think is important. Thinking about how they could potentially work together, because Pierce County is big and they have different, you know, some of our cities and towns are on the shores. Some of them are not. Some of them are agriculturally oriented. Some of them have significant amount of streams and rivers going through their areas that matter, because those will flood, or those are for salmon habitat or whatever. So trying to figure out those pieces of the puzzle that will energize people to work together in a way that's going to make a difference. Yeah, that's exciting work.
So I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but it seems appropriate to talk about it for a moment here, because often I hear people, I guess I wouldn't say despairing, but they're kind of questioning whether their efforts here in good old Pierce County, good old Tacoma, whether those efforts make a difference or not, or they can make a difference. So what would you say to people that say that they're reluctant to do something because they're afraid they're just wasting their time, or they're just a drop in the bucket? What would you say to them?
I think that's a really important question. And it is one that I have occasionally asked myself. You know, I originally joined Citizens Climate Lobby because it works on a national level. And I was convinced, man, we need to do something nationally. We need national legislation to really make a difference. But it takes a lot of drops in the bucket to make a full bucket. If you look at what happened with COVID, it started in one place. And what did it do? It swarmed out and got to the whole world. Our voices can do the same thing. One voice can ignite other voices. And then we get a whole bunch of voices. And then all those voices spread all over the world and say, you know, we need to make a difference. I mean, we look at Greta from Sweden, you know, small girl. She sits on the steps in Sweden and she yells and yells and yells. And at first nothing happens. And then she makes it all the way over to New York City. So I think one person really can make a difference. And by what you do, what you buy, what you say, you influence other people. And it takes all of us being influenced and thinking about, okay, this world really matters to us. Climate really matters to us. We can do something about it. It's just amazing, in that short amount of time, you know, about 4 years, nobody was talking about climate. And now climate is a regular topic of conversation on the TV. Amazon is now promoting their, you know, all the electric vans that they're going to buy and that they want to be carbon neutral by, I think it's 2040. We're looking at all the different pieces of legislation that are going through the state, whether or not they passed. For some of them, those are the first time those pieces of legislation have been there. And that's because representatives are taking it there because constituents are saying, do something. So yeah, your voice makes a difference. Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the things that I say is, well, the least effective voice is the one that's never raised. So we can't know. If we sit silently, we can be sure that we're not going to make a difference. If we go to work, then the way, especially the way you sketch it out, we are going to make a difference. So let's get back to the Pierce County Sustainability Plan. So what are some of the details of that? What are folks that live here in Pierce County going to see different because we have that plan?
The sustainability plan is a greenhouse gas emission reduction plan. So it is very much what's called a climate plan, not just a sustainability plan, which means its focus is on how do we reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the various sectors. And in most climate plans, the first two sectors that you come up with are buildings and energy and transportation. Those are the highest emitting sectors. So within the plan, there are actions that are directed towards reducing emissions in those two sectors, as well as in waste management and what we buy. And, you know, I always tend to forget there's five of them. And I remember the top three and then the last two sort of drop off. Oh, there's carbon sequestration. That's one of them. So that's agricultural practices. And then the last one is educating people and reaching out and informing them. What can they do? And what people are going to see is, you know, immediately you're not going to feel very much of anything going on. But in the building sector, what it's about is electrification as well as making the buildings more efficient. And what that does, if you buy a new home that is very energy efficient and is electrified, is your bills are really low. Your utility bills come down. When you retrofit for the same thing, your utility bills come down. When you put in more EV infrastructure and you find out that EV cars are just as affordable as the regular cars that we buy now, then you find out, wait a minute, now I have this EV car sitting in my garage. I don't have to pay for gas and maintenance costs are really lower. What do we see in terms of the air? As soon as we have a lot more EVs on the road, your air pollution is going to come down. And that makes a significant difference in terms of health impacts for asthma and any other kind of lung-related diseases that come out of there. We're going to be working on, you know, what do we do to keep our rivers cleaner and Puget Sound cleaner? What are we doing with the stormwater to make sure that it's clean before it runs off? So there's different actions that attack each one of those. It is a plan for the county. And so, you know, a lot of the actions are sort of up to the community to actually take on. The county has say-so on what happens at county buildings and what happens with county vehicles. And so they are the model. The other difference that it makes is having a climate plan is actually necessary for you to score higher to be able to get transportation dollars. And we need those transportation dollars to update our transportation infrastructure. The getting of electric buses, we now have a few running in Pierce County. That comes from transportation dollars. That comes from having a plan that, you know, will get us those kinds of things. I think it also is going to dovetail with our growth management in that, you know, densification is a very important way of developing so that people will travel cars less. The vehicle miles contribute to pollution, and the less you drive, the less pollution there is in that sense. There are also actions in there beginning to make our roads ready for autonomous vehicles, which are going to show up at some point. So there are some really forward-thinking aspects to the plan, getting us ready for potentially not having cars that will rely instead on autonomous vehicles to pick us up, or we'll go by electric bus. And that puts more money in your pocket because owning a car is actually pretty expensive. So there's a lot of financial pluses in the end that we don't feel right now, and we may not understand, but I think we're going to see them, and it's going to make a difference to people. It's an equity plan, so it really looks at where are we going to make the most difference for frontline communities that are the hardest hit by greenhouse gas emissions because of being located near highways or being located near industry where there's a lot of pollution going on. If you look at Fife, it's rated like 9 and 10 on environmental hazards because of its proximity to I-5, to the I-5 corridor, as well as to the industrial area and the tide flats. So as things change in those areas, those people are going to have better lives. They're going to have cleaner lives. They won't have to go to the hospital because they have, air problems with breathing. So things are just going to get better. But there are some upfront costs that we just are going to have to deal with. That's an investment in our future.
Yeah, well, one of the key points I hear you making there is that it's typical or common, let me say common, to think about dealing with climate change as, well, we got to give up this and it's going to cost that, and so on and so forth. But the picture you're painting there is really that Pierce County over time, because of this plan, becomes a better place to live all around. And also, we're doing our part of addressing greenhouse gas emissions and so on. So I think really good to think about the plus stuff.
Yes. Yes. Pierce County will also look nicer because one of the aspects of carbon sequestration is you have to plant green things. You have to pay attention to your trees. You have to pay attention to where you have parks. Trees help with cooling down buildings, which is also a good thing in terms of energy efficiency. If you plant trees near your house and it's shaded in the summer, you don't have to run the air conditioning. If you replace your heating infrastructure that's getting old with heat pumps, not only are you bringing down your costs in terms of your bills because they're super efficient, you have an automatic air conditioner in the heat pump. So it just makes your indoor life more pleasant. And so there's a lot of pluses to what we're doing. And the downside that I can see is still convincing people and realizing that sometimes you do have to pay for benefits that are downstream.
Yep, for sure. So just out of curiosity, the Pierce County executive, what kind of leverage is he going to have in the Pierce County sustainability plan? Or is this just, it's good to go?
It's good to go. He has to, it runs by his office, and it's gone through his office, I think, at least twice for formal review, and he has given a stamp of approval. So he is behind it. This is now the Pierce County plan or the Pierce County execs plan, however you want to look at it.
Well, that's a pretty exciting perspective. So,
yes.
And one that I was unaware of, and I'm experiencing a moment here where I might have to adjust my thinking a little bit about the Pierce County executive. So let's talk about the politics a little bit. Now, I was at the meeting where the sustainability plan was passed, and I was really surprised that it passed 6-1. You made an allusion to that earlier. Of course, the county council is 4 Democrats, 3 Republicans, yet the vote was 6-1. So what's your analysis of how that got such overwhelming support?
I think there was a lot of behind the scenes work, a lot of conversations that took place because that support was already there from the community development committee. So the two Republicans that went along with the plan are also both on the community development committee. And so they had their opportunity to add in amendments that were important to them, and they did do that. The reason why there are now costs associated with the plan was through Councilmember Hans Zeiger. He wanted to see that. And it was put in there. And I think that's important. I think people do need to see some of the costs and understand, what are we looking at budget-wise. I don't remember the other specific amendments that were proposed there, but they had their say and they had the time to really examine the plan and talk to Ryan Dix, who presented more than once and was able to respond. And so I think the time is it's also just the timing. I mean, it's not a bipartisan issue anymore, whether we should take care of the, I mean, it's not a, It is a bipartisan issue. Let me take the negative out. It is a bipartisan issue that we take care of our environment, that we take care of our climate. I think we all realize that. I think the only difference is to what degree. And that's an important thing. The one person who voted against, she has concerns about, should we be spending this much money on this plan? Is it really as serious as that? And she agrees. I mean, yes, there's an issue and we do want clean water and clean air, but do we really need to do this? She was not convinced. I think the majority of people are now reading the tea leaves in terms of their constituents. Their constituents are saying, yes, this really matters. And when you look at the amount of testimony that they got, which is unusual. I mean, usually the Pierce County Council doesn't get that many people coming in to testify. And they had one person after the other saying, you have to pass this. This is really important. This matters to me because that makes a difference.
Yeah. So maybe I'm going through another little perspective adjustment here, because it does sound like a very effective pathway was taken in terms of reaching across the aisle. I mean, we hear that term reaching across the aisle all the time. How many times do we actually reach across the aisle and say, okay, I hear your concern about how much this is going to cost or what the impact is going to be on some of your constituents and so on. So I'm thinking that this could make a good textbook lesson for a college level political science student to dig in, and because, you know, the politics is really about, eventually is about the details, and it's also about the people too, I think. So
certainly
I really well, we're getting close to the end here, Ellie. I gotta say again that I really appreciate the organizational and motivational stuff that you and Climate Pierce County have been doing. It's something that I hope more people do in more places. So as we finish up here, you've alluded to this a little bit, but what would be your guidance to somebody who's been sitting on the sidelines, but, you know, kind of having a little, well, put me in coach thought? What would your guidance be to somebody who hasn't taken that jump yet?
I would say, you know, think about what matters to you, and then think about what you enjoy and how can you put those two things together. For some people, they do not like being vocal. They do not like testifying, and they may not even like getting together with groups. I mean, there are people. So what power do they have? They have the power of the pocketbook, what they choose to buy and what they choose not to buy. They can inform themselves and say, oh my gosh, you know, plastics, those are greenhouse gas emission products, because they're made of oil. Can I reduce my plastics? There are people who would tell you about, you know, the methane production of cows. Well, can I eat less beef? It's a possibility. Can I buy locally so that I'm not having greenhouse gases go up in the air because I'm buying all my stuff from Mexico or from China or Vietnam or whatever? Can I look at what my clothing is made of? You know, is it made of cotton or is it made of nylon, another greenhouse gas emission product because it's from oil? So you can do things by that. You can look around. There are a lot of organizations here in Tacoma and in Pierce County that do different work that might appeal to you. Maybe you really are interested in the Salish Sea. Well, then there is an organization for you to join. Maybe you're really interested in what happens on our watershed, in the Puyallup watershed. Well, there's an organization to join for that too. So it doesn't have to be focused on greenhouse gas reduction. It just has to be focused on what makes our world a better place. And what do you want to do to help that move forward? And the benefit of joining an organization is just right now, you know, we've all been sitting at our homes. All these meetings always take place over Zoom or some other thing where you're sitting in front of your computer. But at the same time, you get to see people. That's really nice. It's really nice to have that community.
Yeah. So if I could kind of summarize a little bit, you don't have to be wanting to go out and carry a sign or testify based on what you just said. We can make a difference individually. By the way, just speaking personally, I've changed my behavior a lot over the last 4 or 5 years because of my climate concerns. And one of the interesting things to me is I've seen people around me without me ever proselytizing anybody, family members, neighbor. I mean, my neighbor's got solar on his roof because he saw him putting solar on my roof, and pretty soon he's like, hey, what's going on over here? And next thing I know, he's got solar on his roof too. So, you know, our individual behavior while it is a very small thing, it does influence other people. And also, I think that our individual behavior does make us more aware. I mean, if I, as you suggested, questioning about plastic, as I think about plastic, I become more and more aware all by itself. It's there's really no effort associated with it. That awareness just kind of comes. So, well, we're close to the end here, Ellie. Anything else you'd like
nice
to add?
Yeah, go ahead. I'd like to say, you know, it's kind of nice to live intentionally and really pay attention to your choices. Why do you make those choices? Instead of floating along, be intentional about what you choose to do and what you choose to buy. And experience some new things. You know, the people who are hesitant about EVs, they are the coolest cars to drive. So if you have, you know, if you have an old junker that's about ready to go out the door, well, then go try and test drive something else and see, you know, the EVs, they got a lot of things going for them. So, yeah, live intentionally. It improves your life.
Well, you've just expanded our conversation from the environment to a philosophy of life, and I really appreciate that, Ellie. It's been great talking with you today, and thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy life to talk to us.
Been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So there you have it. I really enjoyed my conversation with Ellie today. I learned a lot. I hope you did, too. You can check out show notes. I'll have some links in there. You can go to ccltacoma.org. to find those show notes. You can send me an email anytime, John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. I love receiving emails. And while I got you, I'm planning on May 22, a community one-day climate intensive, let's call it, that I'll be talking more about later on. So watch for that. I hope you can join in. Should be a good time and some fellowship. And we're going to be meeting in person. Got approval to do that, and so a chance to get out, have some lunch with somebody else, and talk and learn. Okay, that's it for today. Here I am once again reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.